from D. James Kennedy Ministries. This is Kennedy Classics. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Hello, and welcome to Kennedy Classics, a viewer-supported outreach. I'm Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. If I could confide in you for just a moment, I must tell you that we are facing an urgent financial situation. We finished 2016 with a financial shortfall, and we now face the necessity of cutting back on programming, production, and broadcast outlets unless you step in to help us. Please let us hear from you with a generous donation today so that we can press forward in this pivotal year for America's future. Our aim is to stand for truth, defending your freedom. But we can only do that if you stand with us. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11164, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 888-332-3069. And, of course, you can go online to djkm.org. What is the oldest known institution in all of human history? If you said flea markets, we need to talk. But if more seriously you said farming or barter trading or even religion, you also have missed the mark. Now, if you said family, you still missed, but not by much. Here's a hint. This institution was established by what we call a creation ordinance. That is, an ordinance given by God not long after He completed His creation of the heavens and the earth. That ordinance begins with these words, "For this reason." We find the full account in Genesis chapter 2, where we read, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This is the foundational institution of all human society. And notice that God creates only one Eve for Adam, not several Eves, or not another Adam. This shows us that the divine pattern for marriage that God established at creation is heterosexual monogamy. Upon this institution rest all of God's other creation commands, including the one to be fruitful and multiply. Yet marriage in our day seems under attack from every quarter, with profound consequences for the future. Here is Dr. D. James Kennedy with more in his message, "The Importance of Marriage."
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the second chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. We shall begin our reading with verse 18. May we hear the inspired word of the living God. "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him.' And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And may God speak to us today through this portion of his holy word, and may his name ever be praised. Before the state, before the church, God created the oldest institution on this planet, and that is the institution of marriage. It is the oldest and the most universal of all of God's institutions. Wherever you would go in this world today, whatever continent, whatever nation, you would find that there men and women are joined together in the bonds of matrimony and are rearing families. Today I want to talk to you about the importance of marriage at a very critical time in the life of marriage. Remarkably, that in the entire history of the human race, what has happened in just the last few years, a millisecond in the history of mankind, where there is a massive effort to destroy that institution, an effort which is making ominously large strides forward. But as far as the biblical record is concerned, God created one man for one woman. So it was in the beginning. It's really awesome to think, gentlemen, that God took a part of a man and tailor-made woman for him. We were made for each other by divine design. So it was seen in the Old Testament, also the New. Christ performed his first miracle at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. When they talked about the departures in the Old Testament to Christ and some that had taken numbers of wives, Christ said that was due because of the hardness of their hearts. But it was not so from the beginning. And he brought them back to the very creation of the human race and what God has done. It is of historical and biblical importance, and it is basic and essential to the culture in which we live. This nation has been built upon good families, and that has been the strength of every nation. Even Napoleon Bonaparte said that what was needed was good mothers, women, in families rearing children, and with that France would be strong, he said. He was a very perceptive man. It's important for culture, it's important for the individuals, it's important for the husbands, and it's important to the wives. But marriage has been under a threefold assault like it has never seen before in the last few decades. There was the no-fault assault, where lawyers, politicians decided they were just going to make it easier to get a divorce. The result was the skyrocketing of the divorce rate in America. One recent sociologist said that there are mountains of evidence that show there never was a law passed that brought so much misery and unhappiness to so many people as the no-fault divorce. There are some of you who probably have been through that. It has been indeed tragic. How many people I've talked to who have told me that we just don't love each other anymore, things have gotten so bad we can't go on. We just have to get a divorce. After all, didn't we get married just to be happy? And with that self-centered, self-indulgent view of hedonism as we find prevalent today, it seems a perfectly logical thing to get divorced. I'm not happy now. If I get a divorce, I'm going to be happy in the future. Like all of the lies of Satan, finally, time proves them to be false. What have the studies shown? And there have been more sociological studies on marriage and divorce and families in the last few decades than ever before. Taking couples that were at the point of getting a divorce, were about to throw it all over, throw in the towel, they found that 5 years later, those who got a divorce, those that went ahead with the divorce, of them, 22% were happy. Of those who decided to stick it out, seek help and counseling, and try to fix their marriage, which for most seemed probably hopeless, of those people, 5 years later, 80% said they were happy. God's way is the right way. Unfortunately, only too often we discover that too late. And studies have shown that married couples, more than divorced or single people, they are generally happier. They have more wealth. They, on average, have better homes. They feel their lives are more fulfilling. Note this, they have more fulfilling sex lives than single people, in spite of every single television program on the air. No, God's way is the right way. It is extraordinarily important for everyone, not only for the individuals, but for the culture. With the widespread divorce that has indeed assaulted marriage in the last 30 or 40 years, there have been all kinds of cultural consequences. One of them has been the great multiplication of unwed women, single women trying to rear children, and the cost in government welfare programs has been in the area of hundreds of billions of dollars. It's not a private matter. It is a public cultural matter. We have a whole new class of poor, and that is the single mother. Now, of course, these statements are averages. They're generalities. There are certainly some single mothers who are not poor, but on the average, they are the new class of poor and poverty-stricken people. They remain in poverty longer and deeper than most other groups do. And of course, the no-fault divorce people said, when asked, what about the children? We were told they will bounce back. They're just sort of like basketballs. They bounce back. Well, what have the studies shown? Sociological studies have shown this, that the children of divorce do worse in school. They drop out more, they make worse grades, they get into more trouble. Now, keep in mind, these are averages. And I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anyone. Some of you may have been divorced when you had no power to do anything about it.
you were deserted, abandoned, or whatever, and you're doing the best you can to rear your children. Some of you are doing an outstanding job. But on average, they drop out more, make worse grades, get into more trouble. They're expelled from school more often. They're more likely to take drugs. They're more likely to drink alcohol more frequently. They commit more crimes while still in school. No, that's not a very high bounce, is it? And then in life itself, they don't do as well either. On average, they get into more crime later. They make less money. They are more unhappy. And though they despise divorce, they are more likely to get one than those that have lived in intact families. And what about life itself? Well, you may remember a longitudinal study that was begun about 80 or 90 years ago in California by Dr. Terman. He examined the lives of 1,500 children for their entire lifetimes. It was an 80-year longitudinal study. You say, that must have been a very old doctor. Well, he died long before that was over. Other doctors picked up the study. These young people called themselves termites after his name, and they had contact with each other and with him. What were the results? Well, again, of these 1,500 children, some of them came from broken homes, others came from intact homes. And one thing they discovered was that on average, children of broken homes lived 4 years less. You want to get a divorce? On average, you're hacking 4 years off the life of your children. It's a personal matter between your mother and me, and you, nothing to do with you? Yes, it has something very definitely to do with you. It's going to shorten your life on average. Indeed, it is very important for children. The basic reason for marriage was that men and women might not only have their own lives fulfilled and strengthened and might grow in grace together, but also they would provide a safe and healthy place to rear children in this world. There's not only the no-fault assault, but then there was the feminist assault upon marriage. You remember that, don't you? The feminists said that marriage was a jail cell, a prison for women. And so they abandoned it. And they said it was a terrible thing for women. And all of their fulfillment in life was going to depend on their not getting married. Well, as you may recall, several of the leaders and founders of that movement lived long enough to say it was a great failure. And so many of these women were rushing as the biological clock was ticking to get married and to have children. They found that as important as a spreadsheet might have been in their business, that babies loved back and accounting sheets did not. And the feminist movement was a disastrous attack, but a failed effort. The most current one is the homosexual assault on a marriage. And this is more serious than anyone before it, because here they are trying to destroy the very institution of marriage, to redefine it. Throughout entire history of the world, marriage has been a union between one man and one woman. And always it has been so that marriage is a union between a man and a woman. That's the way God designed it in the very beginning. Are homosexual marriages the same as heterosexual marriages? Well, obviously, God didn't think so. He didn't simply make another Adam. He made a woman. Did he make a mistake? Well, hardly. We see that in the Netherlands, studies have shown that the average homosexual men that get married, their marriages last 1 year and a half. Furthermore, they don't even believe really in monogamous marriages. On average, the average married homosexual man has 8 other sexual partners per year. So those year and a half marriages involved also sex with 12 other men during that time. So it's not true that homosexuals are just dying to get married. In fact, it has been seen that in Canada, only 1.4% of all of those that were living together have decided to get married. But it's interesting that some of the homosexuals have said, who would want to get married? Who would want to get tied down with all of those legal problems that are involved in marriage? And the whole idea of till death do us part and monogamous marriage is anathema to them. What they wanted, they said, note well, was not to get married. It was to destroy the institution of marriage. They didn't want to become like us. They wanted to make us like them. And when that happens, there'll be no more husbands and wives. I mean, no more fathers and mothers. It will be social chaos of a type that we can't even hardly imagine today. And open the door to all kinds of sexual chaos. If 2 men can get married, what about 3? Or 5? That's called polyamora. And many loves, and group marriage, and all such things as this are already in the wings and they're waiting to be filed in our courts. It would produce absolute cultural chaos in this country. Mother and father, husband and wife would be old-fashioned things in a generation. This nation would be unrecognizable. This is the most dangerous attack on marriage that the world has ever seen. Yes, marriage, according to the scriptures, is the oldest and most universal institution in the world. All of our other institutions are built upon that, and right now there is an effort to destroy it at the foundation. This, dear friends, we cannot allow to happen. We are working, doing what we can to cooperate with others in defending marriage, but your voice, your prayers are also needed. Now is the time to not let the foundation be destroyed. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation and we pray for the institution of marriage. We ask, Lord, that you will intercede, hear our prayers, and prevent the destruction in these latter days of an institution which has served well for all of these thousands of years everywhere in every nation on earth. Oh God, may your design and plan for the human race not be overturned by people who seek the destruction of marriage altogether and the sexual and cultural chaos that would be the result. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Perhaps you're watching this program today and you want to have a godly marriage, but you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You can know Him. Today you can receive the greatest gift ever given from the greatest person who ever lived. It's the gift of eternal life that only Jesus Christ can give. I urge you to turn away from all of your own efforts to get to heaven and place your trust in Him today. The way we do that is by realizing that we've fallen short of God's standard of perfection, recognizing that we are sinners. Only Jesus Christ lived the perfect life and could, therefore, pay for our sins with His death on the cross. If you're ready to repent of your sins and call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, we can go to Him in prayer right now saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner and I ask You to forgive me for my sins. Please cleanse me and make me brand new. Give me new and right desires that I may follow Your will for my life from this day forward. Thank You for the free gift of eternal life. In Your name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, you've just begun the greatest adventure of your life. And we have a gift that will help you to better understand the decision that you've made today. It's Dr. Kennedy's book, written for new believers, called Beginning Again. It will help you grow in your new faith as you read from the Gospel of John, learn how to pray, and how to study God's Word. To receive your copy, just write to the address on your screen or call our toll-free number. Be sure to ask for Beginning Again. God bless you as you do.
As Dr. Kennedy explained in his message today, the crumbling integrity of the institution of marriage is one of the major sources of the moral decay of our society. As the family goes, so goes the nation. If you would like a copy of The Importance of Marriage for yourself or to share with a family member, or perhaps with your Sunday school class, we'll send it to you as our thanks for your generous gift to help us broadcast messages like this one. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11164, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 888-332-3069, or go online to djkm.org. And please include a generous gift to the ongoing work of this ministry. Marriage is so vitally important to our society that we need to continue to defend and uphold it for God's glory. And our ministry is now facing a serious financial shortfall. We need your support to continue to broadcast messages like this. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on this edition of Kennedy Classics. We'll see you next time.
This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.